Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God, to bring pastors anointed teaching, and to show you the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and to hope in His Word to draw nearer to Him. You can contact us further at hiswillministry.org, or you can email us at info@hiswillministry.org. Here's Pastor Warner.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. Today I'd like to talk to you about, are you faithful to Jesus or your own ideas? How many times has the Lord come to you deep in prayer or in that still quiet voice and given you a direction? And your first reaction is, say what? You really want me to do that, Lord? Instead of, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God Almighty has spoken and I will do. Even Moses, and I love Moses, in Exodus chapter 6, in verse 8. And I will bring the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for the possession. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel. But they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and the cruel bondage. And now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go tell King Pharaoh of Egypt to let the sons of Israel go out of this land. But Moses said before the Lord, saying, behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will the Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge to the sons of Israel and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Have you ever wondered what the Lord said? Here's Moses. He's seen the Lord. He's heard the Lord. The Lord has talked to him in the burning bush. And the Lord came to him to kill him because he wouldn't follow him. And finally, Moses says, all right, Lord, I'm going to Egypt. I'm going to get your people out. Then the first thing that happens is the Moses goes and speaks to the people and they won't listen to him. He then turns around and tells the Lord, the people won't listen to me. What makes you think the King Pharaoh's going to listen to me? Now, we don't know what God said to Moses and Aaron. All we know is the Bible says it gave charge to them to get the people out of Egypt. We don't know the words that were exchanged, but we do know that from that point forward, Moses was absolutely convinced and he did not turn back. Moses didn't turn around. So whatever God said convicted his heart. How many times have we been in that position where we have our own ideas of what God wants for us? Not what God has told us, not what God has shown us in His Word, but we have our own ideas of what God wants for us. You know, Mark Lowry is a Christian comedian, and I love the way he phrases it. He talks about Jesus' first miracle. Let's look at it. The first recorded miracle in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servant, do whatever he says to do, and you do it. There were a set of 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them with water, and then he said, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. They took it to the master of the feast, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. And the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to them, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have drunk, well drunk, then the inferior, yet you have kept the good wine till now. As Mark Lowry says, Jesus' first miracle was to keep the party going. You gotta love God's sense of humor. Now, there's many theological arguments about the wine, the good wine, but that's not the point here. The point is, Jesus' mother had her own agenda. She loved Jesus, and she obviously knew he was the Son of God and had the power to do these things. And yet Jesus said, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But Jesus loved his mother so much that he honored her by her request being fulfilled. And on top of that, she honored him by telling the servants, "Whatever he wants, you shall do." So the Lord God honored his mother, and his mother honored her. But she still had her own agenda, didn't she? Let's look at what my favorite character in the Bible, Peter. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 29 through 32, you know the story. Peter is in the boat. Jesus has decided to walk across to the other side. The wind is boisterous. They're in the middle of a storm. The disciples look out and see Jesus, and the first instinct they get scared and say, "Oh no, it's a ghost. Oh no." And Jesus says, "Hey, it's me. Don't worry about it." Starting in verse 29, he says to Peter, "Come." When Peter came out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus' hand stretched out and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they both got into the boat, the wind ceased. How many times have we been in Peter's position in our lives? What happened here? Jesus was walking on the water. And most people say, "Oh, Peter had no faith at all." Well, I don't know about you, but it takes a lot of faith to step out on water. We have a lake up above Pinedale that's 600 feet deep. That lake is very cold. Pinedale gets below zero in the wintertime, so during the summertime, the lake probably doesn't get much above 55 or 60 degrees. And if I was standing in a boat, and the person in that boat told me, "Just get out and walk on water," I probably wouldn't do it. Now, here's Peter in the middle of a storm, in the middle of this lake, and Jesus just says, "Come." Peter doesn't even think about it. He's going to do the will of the Father. He doesn't think about it. He just, wham, steps right out, and he's walking on water. What happens to Peter? Peter starts looking around. He starts looking around and noticing the wind, noticing the lightning, noticing the sounds, noticing the waves splashing up against his ankles and his knees. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and puts his eyes on his own agenda. And his own agenda said, "Hey, I can't walk on water. Hey, I can't be doing this." And the moment he did, what happened to Peter? He sank like a rock. That's what happens to you and I when we get faithful to our own ideas. Do you analyze when God tells you to go do something? If you have a case where God has said to you, "I want you to go over to this homeless person, and I want you to get them a meal, and I want you to buy them clothes, and I want you to take care of them," do you then say, "But Lord, he's a homeless person. He'll just be hungry tomorrow. He's a homeless person. If I give him a new set of clothes, he'll be sleeping in them in the street, so why help?" Do we analyze those things, or do we say, "Lord, your will be done"? Do we go back to Moses? God had shown up personally to Moses, and Moses stood up in front of the people, and they rejected him. Immediately, Moses went to his own ideas, not God's ideas. See, you and I, as human beings, have the problem that we can't see further than our eyeballs. Peter could not see further than his human senses. His human senses told him, "It's stormy outside, it's dark outside, it's windy outside, it's lightning outside, and I can't walk on water." He didn't see with his spiritual senses. See, we men and women are locked into this body, this tent, this tabernacle, this temple that we live in. We're locked into it, and if we don't allow God to work through our lives and Jesus to work through our lives, We are limited to the senses that He gave us when we were born. We're limited to taste and touch and smell and sight and our hearing. That's a pretty limited little group there. We therefore, if we can't touch it, we can't understand it. What did Paul say? Faith is not what you can hold on to, but faith is believing in those things that are unseen. That's true faith. In the case of Peter and Matthew here, faith was believing that he could walk on water. Faith was believing he could walk to Jesus and embrace Him and talk with Him. In the case of Mary, which we see in our first example in the first miracle, Mary had that faith. What did she say? The mother said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." Just simple. Whatever He says to you, do it. Mary didn't say, "Oh my gosh, I wonder if He can do this. I wonder if these pots will be filled. I wonder if He'll help out." She just said, "Whatever He says, do it." See, that's faith. That is following Jesus' ideas. Jesus said, if we have the grain of faith, the size of a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain over here, move. We can say to this lake, go jump, or this tree, go jump in the lake. But because you and I don't, we can't. Now, I've heard theologian after theologian after theologian say, "Oh, that was just a simile. Oh, that was just a parable. It can't happen." Well, if you study your Bible, the words before that are, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." The Greek there means a truism, a absolute fact. Jesus wasn't telling a parable. He was trying to show His disciples how limited we are in our faith. You and I see great men of faith in working for the Lord. And when we think about what Jesus said, if they had the faith of a mustard seed, the smallest, absolute, smallest seed there is, they could move a mountain. Those men never moved mountains physically, but yet they did great things. Think what they could have done. Think what you and I could do if we were faithful to Jesus' ideas and not our own. If we followed what Jesus wanted for us. Let's look at John chapter 11, verse 5 following. "And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, He stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And then after this, He said to His disciples, 'Let's go to Judah again.' The disciples said to Him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you. You want to go there again?' And Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not with him.' And these things He said, and after that He said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then His disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about him taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus said plainly to them, 'Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that he is not, I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him.' And then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go also, that we may die with him.'" Do you notice anything in this series of verses? It's one misunderstanding after another misunderstanding. Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. He was called to come heal Lazarus. So what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't jump up and go. Jesus stayed for 2 more days in the place where he was. Why did he stay there? He stayed there that God may be glorified, that he would do the will of the Father. He stayed there and waited till Lazarus had died so that God would receive so much more glory. And then he says to his disciples, "Okay, let's go to Judah again." Now, 2 days before, the disciples had been around him. They had seen, they had heard that the sister, Martha and Mary, had sent a messenger calling Jesus to come heal Lazarus. But what did they say? They said, "Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you, and you're going there again?" They forgot. They didn't see Jesus' ideas. They weren't faithful to what he wanted. They were faithful to what they saw. Oh, the Jews had tried to kill you there. You don't want to go back there. They didn't realize at this point who fully Jesus was. Jesus' answer, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, does he stumble? Because he's in the light. But if anyone walks at night, he stumbles because he's not in the light. Jesus was trying to explain to them that you must be faithful to his ideas. As long as we're faithful to Jesus' ideas, as long as we're faithful to the Word, the living Word of God, we cannot stumble. It's when we walk in the dark of this world. It's when we walk in the dark saying, God is doing a new thing. It's when we create our own ideas. Have you noticed lately, just take a look around, how many quote-unquote religious organizations believe God is doing a new thing and therefore they're coming up with new ideas, they're coming up with new things that go against the Word of God? The Word of God tells us very plain and clearly, do not add to, do not subtract from, or there will be great judgment. And these groups are saying, God's doing a new thing. Let's do this. God's doing a new thing. He told me we can now do this. Things that have been wrong for eternity are now right because these people say God is doing a new thing. They're not faithful to God's ideas. They are turning and walking in the dark, my friends. They are walking in the dark, and because they're walking in the dark, just like Jesus said, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. What happens when we stumble? When we stumble, we fall. When we fall, we fall away. And I tell you right now, in my heart of hearts, we are so close to the end, it is not even funny. I don't know when the Lord will return, but it is soon. We are closer than we've ever been because we are in the end times. And do you want to risk falling? Do you want to risk letting yourself be taken out into the night and stumbling and therefore falling? That's a question only you can ask, but it's a question on my heart so much that no, I never, ever, ever want to stumble and fall. I want my eyes to be firmly placed on Jesus and His ideas. Let's go on. John 11:11. And these things He said to them. And after He said them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I will go that I may wake him. And then His disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, let him get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought He was speaking about taking rest. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. They just didn't get it. They had their own agenda. They had their own ideas. Jesus is saying, Lazarus has passed away. He was sick. Now he's dead. I want to go wake him up. I want to raise him. What does Thomas say? Oh, yeah, let's go. Let's go so we can die with him. They didn't get it. They were too wrapped up in their own beliefs and their own thoughts of what was going on, not in Jesus's. And you see this all the way through the four Gospels. You can see this all the way through. We watch them. We see the growth in these men. We see how they get more and more closer to Jesus' own ideas. Remember in John what happened? John chapter 6, verse 66. And many of them no longer followed him because of the hard teachings. Many of them peeled away. Many of them left Jesus. Many of them stopped being faithful to his ideas because they were too hard a teaching, too hard a word. Is that where you are, my friends? Are you at that point where you're wavering, where you're teetering, where you're tottering because someone in your life has said, oh, you're one of those radical Christians. Or someone's persecuted you because you spoke up for holiness, or someone's persecuted you because you're trying to live a life based on the manufacturer's handbook, God's Word. Is that where you are? Then you better totter over to the side of Jesus' ideas and stand firm, or you're going to be just like Jesus said. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This last couple of weeks has been hard for Mary and I because we have received several very hard attacks against us in the ministry. And they were because of one thing and one thing only. We stood for personal holiness. We stood for not compromising. Do not compromise. One of the pastors that we work with in Africa, I love this dear man, received a vision. And he thought this vision was for him and his wife. He saw a vision of a pastor and his wife. And then he was taken to hell by an angel. And in hell he saw people that used to serve God. And he saw a pastor. And he asked the angel why, and the angel said because they compromised. They compromised God's word. And now they were in hell. And he took that as a personal vision for him. Because he is on a crusade preaching, don't compromise God's word. That's where we are. Are we faithful to Jesus or our own ideas? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Everything you and I need are in this little book called the Bible. From Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation 22:21. Those words are for you and me and for our life and for our work in the kingdom. Everything we need to know about life, everything we need to know about what goes on in life, marriage, how to eat, how to live, what to do, every single thing you ever need to know is in this word. All you have to do is look for it. Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Why do we come to Him and then don't do the work of God? Why do we come to Him in prayer and yet in our lives walk with the world? Do you expect Him to answer your prayers when you're walking with the world, when you're not doing the will of the Father, when you're not doing what He says? We get prayer requests every day, sometimes up to 40 pages. And many of the people in those prayer requests, I'm not even sure they know the Lord. Because so many of them ask. And you can tell the heartache. You can tell the pain. And I wonder, you know, God says He will not burden us beyond what we can hold, what we can handle. He says He will not burden us beyond that, and then He'll give us a way out. Sometimes do we make our own problems? Do we make our own troubles? Because we're not faithful to Jesus' ideas? My friends, this is so important in these end days that you get your nose into this book, that you get your eyes on the Word of God and don't take them off. It means your salvation. It means your eternity. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." I'm going to stop there for a second. What does it say? "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." What is the will of God? The will of God is for you as a Christian to tell others about Jesus. The will of God is for you to spread the gospel. The will of God is for you to help that homeless person, whether you think you should or not. The will of God is for you to show Christian love to every human being on the face of this earth, just like our one program, Love Your Enemy. That is the will of God. Let's go on here. I'll read it again. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The word lawlessness there in the Greek means to be without law, to be wicked. What is God's law? Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? And he said the first and greatest commandment is, love your God with all your heart, all your might, all your soul. The second is similar. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, when you see someone on the street that needs a hot meal, do you think someone else will do it? Or do you love him like you love yourself, because you're not going to go home tonight and not have a hot meal? You're not going to go home and not have dinner, but he will. See, that's where we're at. What is the will of the Father? These men in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 on, were men of God, they thought. But they were not interested in Jesus' ideas, but their own. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Do many wonders in your name and miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's a scary thing, my friends. I don't want to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and have him say to me, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who did not do the will of the Father. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The only way you're going to know the will of the Father for your life, my friends, is to get into the Word. To get into the Word and stay in the Word. The only way you're going to know the will of the Father is to be in prayer and wait and listen upon the still voice of the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We are told time and time and time again in the Bible, wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord shall be saved. Wait upon the Lord. Our lives are so busy. We get up. We rush out the door. We work all day. We rush home. Busy, busy, busy. Wait. Stop. Listen to the will of the Lord. I don't know about you, my friends, but I do not want to be one of those that he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. My friend, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the Word of God is the only thing that's going to save you. The only thing that's going to keep you out of that position. The only thing that's going to keep you faithful to Jesus' ideas is that personal, one-on-one relationship with him. Nothing else. If you don't know Jesus, you need to ask him into your heart. You need to get into the Father's Word, and you need to learn what the God that we worship, Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai, the Father wants of your life. Get into his Word and ask Jesus back into your life. Don't get in that position where you're faithful to your own ideas, because it can be literally very deadly for eternity.
Thanks for tuning in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. This program was brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic outreach ministry that is dedicated to doing the works that Jesus has called us to do in His name and for His glory. We hope that you are blessed by today's broadcast and that you will visit us on the web at HisWillMinistry.org or write to us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. I'm Mary Werner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry, wishing you a wonderful day serving Christ Jesus. Please feel free to copy and distribute today's message, and we wish you a blessed day.